Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
Many, if not all of us, have a story or stories of deep hurt caused by someone else. You may have been taken advantage of by someone in business or by a family member or close friend. You may have been abused sexually, physically, or emotionally. You may have been betrayed, abandoned. Someone may have embarrassed or humiliated you publicly in front of others. Someone may have said hurtful things behind your back, lied about you, or started rumors. Here's one of our main points today coming up on the screen. It's this. The deepest wounds are caused by those you are closest to or by those you have trusted the most. If you have deep wounds in your life and you trace them back, they have probably been caused by someone that you were very close to or someone that you trusted the most. That's why the wound hurts so much. That's why sometimes it is so hard to forgive. What do you do with the hurt? How do you respond to that other person? How do you put into practice what the Bible says regarding forgiveness? This is the fourth and last part of this series on forgiveness, and if you weren't here for the other parts or you want to listen to them again, they're available always on our website. There's a resource page there on the website. iTunes, their podcast, and you also have a YouTube channel where the audio portion just with a graphic is there if you want to listen to them on the YouTube channel. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you, a little bit transparent. There is nothing that I have taught you in the past 3 weeks, and there is nothing that I am going to teach today that I have not personally walked through. The steps that are here, I have walked through them. There is nothing that I have taught over the past 3 weeks and that I will teach today that Sherry has not walked through. We are just not, and I am just not teaching you out of biblical knowledge, although I'm going to teach you out of biblical knowledge. I am teaching and sharing with you out of personal experience. Now, I'm not going to share many personal examples. There will be a couple, but I just wanted to let you know that I have walked through all of this, so I understand this topic, and I can identify with your pain. If you are going through something, I can identify with your pain. But even though I understand the topic, even though I understand your pain, I am going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you with what the Word of God says, because God says some very specific things regarding forgiveness. So today, again, the topic is forgiving when it is hard. There is a word that is used. The word is unforgivable. That's unforgivable. I could never forgive that person. I will never forgive that person for what they have done, what they have failed to do, what they have said. It's unforgivable. Some of you may have even said of yourself, that's unforgivable. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is nothing unforgivable. Anything that you have done to others, anything that you have done to yourself, any omission, commission of any sin, they're all forgivable. Every cruel thing is able to be forgiven by God. And I want to say that's good news this morning. Now, immediately, I know some of you are saying, wait a minute, Pastor. That word is in the Bible. There is the unforgivable sin. Yes, there is. It's called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're here this morning. I'm absolutely confident you haven't done it. Because you don't see God if you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You're not concerned about committing the unforgivable sin, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, if you've done it. It is that type of a vile sin. If you're concerned that you have committed the unforgivable sin, listen to this, Pastor. You haven't. Because you wouldn't be concerned about it. Is there such a sin? Yes. I think it is very rarely committed, and I'm totally certain in my heart that it's not committed by anyone who is at least investigating the claims of Christ. So, your sins, those things that you have done that you think are potentially unforgivable, are not. That's good news. Every single one of your sins is and can be forgiven. We celebrated it in communion. That's the good news. But now comes the hard part. Since God has forgiven all of your sins through Jesus' death on the cross, God says we are to forgive everyone who sins against us, no matter how big and hurtful that sin. And that's when forgiveness can get really hard, because of what we've gone through. And what was easy for one person might be hard for someone else, and vice versa. Two quick verses this morning. There's plenty in the scripture. Two to lay the foundation before I get into the teaching. Go with me, or just you can read it off the screen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus' words. I want you to hear what Jesus says. Because some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't like what you're preaching. That's okay. Take it up with Jesus. Because it's his words. Take it up with the Apostle Paul, who was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were his words. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then Paul wrote these letters, or these verses to a church that he planted in Ephesus. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. Look what Paul says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Interesting that the first three words are get rid of. That's our job. Get rid of it. God will help you, but get rid of it. It's not just going to go away. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Take it off. Get rid of it. Then he says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and here it is, forgiving one another. Okay? But then he qualifies it, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Which one of your sins when you came to Jesus did not get forgiven? Anybody want to raise their hand, tell me which one of their sins when they came to Jesus did not get forgiven? None of you? Okay. So if that's how you've been forgiven by Jesus, that's what God expects. How you're to forgive others. Because you're to forgive one another just as God through Christ have forgiven you. As I said, I've spoken with people over the years about this issue of forgiveness. I've preached on it in every church that I've ever pastored, preaching on it once again here, because it is so important that we learn to walk in this. And I've already talked about the term unforgivable. People say they just can't. I can think of a lady back in my other church whose sister went through a horrendous experience at the hands of her boyfriend / fiance. Horrendous. And this woman said, I will never forgive that man for what he did to my sister. I will never forgive it. It's unforgivable. Unforgivable. I will never forgive him. She doesn't have that choice. Not if she's a follower of Christ. Because forgive one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, to say it's hard, to say I'm wrestling with this, to say I don't know how, that's honest. And that's what I'm talking about today. How do you forgive when it is hard? I'm going to share with you a story about forgiveness. Last week, as we had closed the service and people were leaving, I was caught by Kathy McNamee. She said, Pastor, I really appreciate what you said this morning. It helped me to understand some things that have taken place in my family and in my family dynamics. See, Kathy then told me again, and I hadn't really heard the full story of this. I had heard bits and pieces of it. Kathy told me again about a situation that happened to her father. Her father's name is Arthur Anderson, and the family went through an incredible tragedy. Kathy and her sister chose forgiveness. Kathy's brothers did not, and it is amazing the difference in their lives. Throughout the week, I thought about this story, and so I called Kathy, and I said, Kathy, I would love for you to share your story. I can have you come forward on Sunday and do so, or I can come out and videotape you. And she said, Pastor, let's do the video. So here is just a fraction of the story that Kathy shared with me this week about what took place to her father, Arthur Anderson.
We found out in January of 2013 that he had gone to take care of a friend's home. His friend was on vacation, and he walked in on two intruders, and all he did was ask them to leave. That was just the kind of guy he was. He didn't demand anything of them, just asked them to leave. They told him no, and he said if they didn't leave, he was going to call 911. They grabbed the phone from him and proceeded to stab him 9 times. They rolled him up in a carpet and set the house on fire, and they left and they took his car. And he bled out. We don't know how long he laid there. We don't know how long it took him to bleed out. We don't know how long it took him to die. That was really hard for us, knowing that he laid there for who knows how long. We knew, obviously, as Christians, we grew up in a Christian home, had been in church all of our lives, and we knew that he'd gone home to be with the Lord, so that did make it a lot easier to forgive. My brothers, however, my brothers grew up in the same home with us, grew up in church, but they're not serving the Lord. You know, they're just full of anger and hatred and bitterness towards the two young people that did this. It's been 6 years now since our dad was murdered. And in those 6 years, I have still lived an extremely blessed life because I chose to forgive. I look at my brothers, and again, there is no joy. There's just hatred. There's just hatred in them. So in forgiving, I have found that God has triply blessed me because of what took place then. And my sister and I can wake up every morning with joy, be happy to go to church, be happy to serve God, and never walk away from God, which my brothers did.
Forgiving someone who murders your father is hard. Forgiving someone who abused you is hard. Forgiving someone who betrayed you is hard. Forgiving someone who injured your child is hard. And I can go on and on. I don't know where for you it is hard to forgive someone. Maybe you've walked through this process and you're good, but if not, then please, for the next about 15 minutes, let me teach you what you can do to learn how to forgive when it's hard. In your notes, in your bulletin, there's a note sheet. I'm going to move through some of these very rapidly. Here we go. How do you forgive when it's hard? Number one, you need to understand forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice, which takes us right into number two. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Never was, never will be. Somebody needs to hear this today. It's difficult for you to forgive because you can't call up a feeling towards this person of any kind of goodness or love or compassion. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. It is not a feeling. If you wait thinking that until you have those good feelings of some type, that's when you're supposed to forgive, you will probably never forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Number three, it says this: forgiveness is an act of your will. It is an act of your will. I don't feel sometimes like cutting my lawn, especially with as much rain as we have had. And then, of course, I hire somebody to put fertilizer on it, and so that makes it doubly as bad. Listen, last week, it was 90 degrees when I got home from work, or roughly near that. Maybe it was only 65. It felt like 90. No, it was near 90. By an act of my will, I got out into my yard. I pulled out my mower. I put my hat on, and I cut my grass. Did I feel like cutting my grass? No. But I cut it. It was an act of my will. Now, that's kind of a silly example regarding something as hard as forgiving someone who has done something so hard for you. But it's an act of your will. See, you don't have to feel it. Most of the time, you won't feel it. You will just have to choose to forgive and make it an act of your will. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act of your will. Please don't let feelings dictate your forgiveness, because you'll never find freedom if you wait till you feel like it. Number four, forgiveness is both immediate and progressive. Forgiveness is immediate and progressive, and let me explain this. Jesus was teaching, and Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" And Jesus made the comment, or Peter says, seven times up to seven times. And Jesus said, no, Peter, 70 times seven times. And that means somebody who keeps offending and offending and offending. But I've learned something about this 70 times seven thing. For me, and as I said, I've walked through this, so I'm just going to talk to you about my life and my story. For me, sometimes the 70 times seven is for the exact same offense. Not done over again. It's because it keeps coming back up in my mind. I immediately forgive when it comes back in my mind. But then when it comes up again, some of us think, oh my goodness, what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You just need to forgive again. But they didn't do anything again. I forgave him for the first time. No, this is breaking the power of forgiveness. Sure, they're forgiven, but we're breaking the power of forgiveness in our lives. So it's immediate and progressive over and over and over again. We forgive. When the event comes to mind again, and if it's an event like Kathy shared with her father being murdered, the thought of him bleeding out, the thought of him lying there in his house wrapped in a carpet, I can't imagine what feelings that brings up, Kathy, or did bring up. And at that moment, you need to forgive again. And she did. I asked her, does she ever have to forgive these individuals again? And she says, absolutely, especially the woman involved. The man who was part of this team was an adult, but he was mentally challenged. He was actually being controlled by the woman. And she was giving him all of the directions as to how to stab and how to take care of this. Her father was murdered. Yet she has been able to walk the path of forgiveness. But she's done it by doing some of what I'm talking to you about. Over and over and over again, when the thought comes back, when the emotion comes back, you forgive again. There have been many things in our family that have caused us pain over the years. Some have been within the family structure. Some have been people outside of our family, but in our extended family. Some have been friends. Sherry and I walked through many different experiences, but there was one that caused us great pain years ago. And we've forgiven. I've forgiven. The memory comes back. I forgive. There was a situation that I had not thought about for years. I don't know. Sherry and I were discussing. I don't know what triggered it. Something brought back up, and we talked about, do you remember this negative situation? And we're talking maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Oh, yeah. You know, the next day, all of a sudden, it's coming back into my mind. I'm thinking about it. I remember how we felt. I remember the anger we felt. I remember the betrayal we felt. I remember all those feelings are coming back up again. Now, I could have sat on those feelings. I could have nursed them. I could have rehearsed them. We were wrong. We were wounded. But what I chose to do is I forgave again. I forgave again. I forgave again. I forgave again. And it breaks the power. Pastor Chris Beal, He is one of the teaching pastors for Life Church. And I was listening to a message, gosh, it must have been 2-3 years ago. I just captured this, and it's been in my file for a long time. But he said this about this thing about betrayal and, or excuse me, bitterness and forgiveness. He says, when you apply forgiveness one day at a time, one remembrance at a time. And he's talking again about this whole concept of 70 times 7. When you apply forgiveness one day at a time, one remembrance at a time, what happened to you will no longer be an emotion. It will only be a fact. You will never forget it. But it goes from being an emotion to a fact. And that's exactly what has taken place with Sherry and I. The situation when it happened 25 years ago or whenever it was, oh my goodness, the emotion that revolved around it was so tender. We hurt. But through forgiveness, through time, through more forgiveness, through more time, through forgiveness, through more time, it's now no longer an emotion. It's a fact. But when it becomes an emotion again, hear me, when it becomes an emotion again, you need to forgive. Not because it didn't work before, because this is setting you free from being bound to those emotions. I have spoken to others about this before, and sometimes in our childhoods, our parents have done something or failed to do something, or some grew up in terrible situations that now, as a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old, there's still some of that lingering there. You still have to forgive, 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 forgive. Well, they're dead. You still forgive. It's setting you free. It's setting you free. When you apply forgiveness one day at a time, one remembrance at a time, what happened to you will no longer be an emotion. It will only be a fact. Pastor Rick Warren, and I've quoted this before throughout this series, I'm doing it again, forgiveness must be immediate. Whether or not a person asks for it, trust must be rebuilt over time. Trust requires a track record. That's why at this point I said, forgiveness is immediate and progressive. Next, number 5 this morning. Forgiveness is required by God. It's not a good suggestion. It's not of if you want to. It's required by God. Forgiveness is required by God. It has nothing to do with you going to heaven. If you didn't hear last week's message, it has everything to do with whether your life is opened up to the tormentors. And God doesn't want you living there. He wants you to offer forgiveness just the way that you received it. Number 6, forgiveness means I bless and pray for the offender. This is the one that has actually caused me more difficulty and brought me more freedom. Forgiveness means I bless and pray for the offender. Jesus said, and Luke captured it in his gospel, chapter 6, verse 28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. And Matthew says, I captured these words from Jesus in Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, you have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Forgiveness means I bless and I pray for the offender. Why is this one hard for me? I'll just talk to you about me. I said I've lived this. Why is this hard for me? Connor, you're still young, so you don't have a whole lot of baggage yet like me. You know why? I don't want to bless and pray for that person. I don't want God to bless them. I don't. I want them to get some kind of fungal infection. Hemorrhoids that never quit. I mean, that's what I want. Listen, don't you? Somebody has injured you. Somebody has hurt one of your kids. Ho, mamas. You know what you want to do to them. You know what you want to do to them. This is the one that has really helped to break it in me. Why? Oh, and I'll tell you, the situation that I was telling you about, that Sherry and I had happened so many years ago, when it happened, I was working hard to forgive. I ran across these scriptures. I felt the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray blessings on, and it was a couple. It was two people. It was a couple. I want you to bless them. No. Why won't you pray for their blessing? Because, Lord, I know you'll bless them. And I don't want them blessed. Bless them. No, I don't want their marriage blessed. I want them to have a horrible marriage. I don't want them to get the loan for their house. I want them to be rejected, or at least to pay an interest rate of 12.95%. That's what I wanted. But the Holy Spirit kept saying, no, I want you to pray blessing over them. But then, Lord, you'll bless them. Yes, I will. No, it's not right. After what they did to me, after what they did to my family, after what they said, after the pain that they caused, no blessings for them. And then God just sort of stopped talking to me about it. He just sat around and waited until I started to bless. I don't know. I was a pastor at this time also. So if you want to think ill of me, think ill of me. I'm just telling you what went on. I finally chose to obey and to start blessing. While it wasn't technically literal, it was as close to literal. I prayed blessing through clenched teeth. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. And he heard the prayer and blessed them. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Not pray negative things. Not pray for fungal infections or hemorrhoids that won't quit. Because you can't both bless and pray that kind of thing at the same time. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. For me, in these very deep, hurtful situations, when it is hard to forgive, this for me might not be for you, but I'm teaching what I know, backing it up with what the scripture says. This is what began to break it for me. Go back to that Beale quote, please, if you would. I know it's not in the order, but go back a couple of slides. See, when I started to apply forgiveness by blessing the people who injured me, what happened to me no longer was an emotion. Now, it didn't happen instantly, but it became a fact. This was the key for me, was blessing those who have hurt me, blessing those who have cursed me, blessing those who have taken advantage of my family, blessing of those who have said things about my wife or about my children. This is what brought this to be a reality for me, that the remembrance, the forgiveness, the blessing changed what used to be an emotion down to a fact. And so when just 2-3 weeks ago, whenever the situation was brought back up again and I felt a twinge of the emotion, it was easy for me to forgive. And guess what? I prayed for that family again. They live someplace out in Kansas. I won't tell you the town, because then if they listen to this, they'll know who I was talking about. I ask God to bless him. I ask God to bless him. This is going to be revolutionary to some of you if you'll begin to practice this. And you don't have to feel like blessing them. Just begin to say the words. Allow it to become your reality. Forgive as an act of a will, as your will. Bless as an act of your will. Pray as an act of your will, knowing that God is going to answer your prayer in a positive way. Listen, revenge is his, saith the Lord. If there is something God needs to do in their life, let's trust him to work it out. But we're going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to bless. We're going to pray. Number 5, or six or seven, wherever we are. Seven, number seven. Forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is possible. It is possible to get to that point where it's no longer an emotion, it becomes a fact. It is possible. Been there. It's possible. And number eight, forgiveness brings freedom. When you walk this journey, and again, I am not trying to minimize your pain. Your pain may be 30 years old. Your pain may be as fresh as last week. I'm not trying to minimize your pain, but I'm trying to let you know that you don't have to live there. There is a path out of this. You can forgive when it is hard. You just do it as an act of your will. You don't feel it. You choose to forgive. You do it when it's hard. You bless and you pray for the offender, and it's going to bring freedom. It's been said, and you've heard it, I probably said it here before, that unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Some of you need to get the poison out of your life. You need to stop drinking it. You know this poison that you're drinking? It's injuring you. It's also injuring those around you. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to live with a bitter, unforgiving person. It's a terrible place to be. If not just for your sake, for those who are closest to you's sake, forgive, bless, pray. Get this freedom. It is worth it. And then you also open yourself up to the blessing of God. Author C.S. Lewis said this, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Or we could say it this way, and this is just me. To be a Christian means to forgive the unforgivable because God has forgiven the unforgivable in you. God is able to help you if you want to start walking this path of forgiveness. He's looking for his children to say, "God, I want to do this. It's hard. Would you help me?" He's here today to help you. Would you bow your heads? Lord, it's easy, it feels easy to forgive that person who cuts us off when we were trying to park at the mall. It's easier to forgive the person who was a little angry or a little over the top at work. But Lord, it is hard to forgive when the pain is so deep. When it is someone that we've trusted, when it is someone who is close to us, when it was a family member, a parent, a child, a grandparent, a co-owner of a business. Lord, the situations that people experience are far and wide. But they always come down to the ones that hurt the most are the ones where people were close to us. And this morning, I don't know who is here or will be listening in the future who is really wrestling hard with this forgiveness issue. Father, I pray that they would come to you for the help and the strength that they need. Lord, I remember in the situation that I shared in the message, there came a point where I found myself having such a difficult time forgiving that I cried out to you, and that's where the thought came to bless. And I resisted that, Lord, because it was hard. I didn't want the people blessed. But Lord, it was what I needed to do to break through for my freedom. Father, for the man, the woman, the teenager, here this day, or the senior adult who is here, still wrestling with some issues from their past, may they start to bless. Someone is actually saying, "Well, that person is dead. How can I bless them?" Bless their family. Bless their kids or their grandkids, if they have them. Lord, may we become a people who are known by our love, our forgiveness, and our willingness to do this hard thing to forgive. Lord, this takes effort. It's going to take time. It's going to take humility. But it's going to take your supernatural strength. That is what I pray for this congregation, and especially for those who the words I am speaking today are piercing their hearts. But Lord, help them to know that it is worth it because of the freedom in which they will be able to walk in when they begin this process. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.